Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I'm going to do this because the one week I didn't do it, it didn't record. So if it annoys you, it's just the way it is. I apologize. Hang on, you'll be annoyed by something else before it's over with. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
Giving us a Bible and all. I am so wondrously saved from sin, and he's given me an instruction book with guidance within. Amen. Give us a book, the book. And Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look a little bit more at the marriage relationship as God intends for it to be. And we'll start in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So, we know that independent fundamental Baptist churches, I guess we should call them independent, funny, temperamental, or something, but they tend to get hung up on a verse or two out of this passage. And just because God hasn't called women to pastor, let me repeat that, God has not called women to pastor. So if there's a woman pastor, she is not called of God. And if she's not called of God, then she's either called of herself or the devil. But just because he hasn't called women pastors doesn't mean that the men have a right to pick and choose what they read out of these passages and the way they read them and put their slant on them. Or to say something that's true and then forget something that's true the other direction. You know, that wives submit thing, that's everybody likes that. All the men like that. Oh, wives submit, wives submit, wives submit. Well, the truth is, as that is in the Bible, the Bible says for the husband to submit to Jesus Christ and to love the wife as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
I think that, you know, look at Genesis chapter 3, and you talk about the punishments that Adam and Eve got and the serpent got. And really, matter of fact, let's turn there for just a minute. Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, after the fall of man, you notice they call it the fall of man, even though Eve ate the fruit first? God told Adam directly. He was responsible for what Eve knew. Amen? But after that fall, in verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. Heal. So he tells the serpent, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust the rest of your life. And verse 16, he says, and the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. So if we look at these punishments, we understand the serpent's punishment. We understand Adam's punishment was to toil over the ground. He had been given a perfect place where God just provided all his needs. And now he says, now you're going to have to work. And sweat, not the sweat of your brow, the sweat of your face. He's talking about hard work, talking about thorns and thistles. No matter how hard you work, you're going to have to fight these thorns and thistles now because of sin. So we look at the punishment of the serpent, we look at the punishment of the man. But when we look at the punishment of the woman, we always, oftentimes you hear, well, yes, she's going to have childbearing pain and all this. But it also says, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That was part of a punishment from God. He put her under the authority of the man because of sin. Isn't that something? So when we look at what's going on in this world, and this world's a mess, and we look at, women this, women that, women this, whatever, they've done this, they've done that, they've left their natural affection. Well, they're supposed to be able to follow a man that's following Christ. Amen. Hey, could you imagine how hard it could be sometimes? I'm talking to the men right now, because the women all know. They just know. This following a man is difficult. But could you imagine having somebody tell you, we're going this direction, we're going to do this way, and you looking at him going, I know that's wrong, but my responsibility, where's my responsibility? How does that fit into God's plan and God's commandment for me to submit to my husband? Amen. If you work for somebody, like say Hobby Lobby, and somebody tells you to do something one way, and you do this all the time, you've been putting things together, you've been doing this, you've been setting up this place, they tell you to do something and you know that it's not the best way, but you still, in your godly responsibility, you're supposed to say, well, you're the boss and I'm going to do this, unless it's something against the law. Amen? You're supposed to say, okay, well, or, hey, maybe we could do this another way. Or I found, but without getting upset about it. Now, the women are going to get a break today for just a little while. Amen? Because it's the men. Where are the men? Where are the men today in 2021? Where are the men that put Jesus Christ first and their wife second and their kids shortly behind the wife? That's the way it's set up. Where are the men? Say, well, that woman. And that's what Adam said. The woman thou gavest to be with me. But that was part of a punishment for Eve to be under the authority of Adam. So now sometimes Eve had to look at Adam and go, I know this ain't right, but God says, okay, you're not crossing God, but you're not doing it the easiest way. Kind of like, wouldn't you like to read the instructions when you're putting that together? Amen? And that's part of the punishment. We overlook that stuff. But it's also part of his plan. Because if he can get the man's heart, and the man will turn his heart to Christ and follow Christ, then the woman has a pretty easy time following. Amen. Because ultimately she's following Christ through Adam or through the husband. But where are the men? We'll talk about that a little bit later, but the mess is not, well, the women's movement just destroyed everything. You know why there was a women's movement? Because the men quit their movement. I'm not saying all of them, but the vast majority of the men. They went after the things of the world instead of the things of Christ. So now I can make the men mad for a little bit instead of the women. Amen. But it's not me. If you have a problem with it, it's the book. God set things up for a reason. And that reason is to glorify him, and he is at the top of the authority chain. And another thing is, in our... I say our crowd, but they're not really... When I say our crowd, I mean people that believe the book, that can rightly divide to a certain extent, that try to love the Lord right. That's our crowd in that sense. But a lot of them, they have the male-female relationship so messed up. And it's tough. It is tough because the world's such a perverted place. It's such a... so out of balance and out of kilter and so far from what God intended it to be that it is tough. But that's why he gave us a Bible. Amen. So he tells the woman, you're under the authority of the man, and he tells the man, you're under my authority. So the woman doesn't just submit blindly to the man. If the man wants to go to the bar and get drunk, the woman says, no, we ain't, well, I'm not doing that. Amen. We're saved. We don't do that stuff. It can't just be a blanket, follow me. Amen. But there is an authority, a hierarchy set up. Not that anybody's more important than anybody else. The only one that's most important is Jesus Christ. There's no male or female in Christ, but there is a male and female in a family structure. Praise the Lord. Even in 2021. Amen. I'll tell you what your pronouns are. They're what they were 50 years ago. Amen. So that's still the same according to the Word of God. That hasn't changed. So we come down through here, and we see the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, in verse 23, and he is the Savior of the body. We talked about this last week. What did Christ do for the church? He laid his body down, and he loved the church and gave himself for the church. The husband should not spend all of his effort for him to get things. Amen. And the husband, that's part of the problem today. Part of the problem today with the family unit, if you will, it's not a biblical family unit. You have a man that's going out to get what he can get of the world, and you got a woman that wants to get what she can get of the world, and what's happening is the world's getting their kids. Amen. The man is supposed to supply the needs of the household, not 14 cars and, you know, a $2 million house and you know, four four-wheelers and a jet ski and a bass boat. That's not supposed to be the husband's goal. The husband's goal should be to glorify Jesus Christ with his life. And part of that is taking care of his family. Amen. These other things are a perverted worldview. He that dies with the most wins? No. He just dies and all the junk goes to somebody else. Amen. And then he stands before Christ, if he is saved, to give an account of what he did with what he was given as a husband. Amen. That's a tall thing to think about. That's a tall order. So, verse 24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. When a man, a Christian, a Bible-believing, saved man finds a wife, what he is doing, if he's in God's will, is he is finding a woman that he is giving his life for. I am committing my life to caring for you and loving you and honoring your desires, your needs. Not all your wants, but your needs, and taking care of you. When I say needs, everybody's almost immediately goes to worldly things. But how about spiritual needs? Here's where we're headed, and here's the problem with men today. And we all struggle with it. All the men do. The women don't. Women struggle with the men. Amen? Now look at verse 26. It's interesting the way God puts things in the Bible, isn't it? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So what a Christian, a born-again believer that believes this book, that loves Jesus Christ, that was born as a male, praise the Lord. When he finds a partner, which is a female, which is going to be his wife, by the way, amen? He's looking for someone that he can grow toward the Lord with and he can lead closer to the Lord. How's he do it? By the washing, with the washing of water, by the word. Turn to Psalm 119. By the washing of the water, with the washing of the water, by the word. Psalm 119. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So we see in Psalm 119, verse 9, that the Word of God cleans up. It cleans folks up. It's a cleansing word. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Let me ask you this. If a husband's not reading his Bible, if a husband's not reading his Bible with his wife, if a husband's not hiding God's word in his heart, how can he expect the washing of the water with the word to affect his wife? Is it all on her? According to the word of God, it's on the husband. Amen. Amen. So, although we can look at the effects of the causes of problems and say, well, she's doing this and she's doing that, and he's doing this and he's doing that, the root of the problem is he's not following the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that it's not possible for him to do exactly what he's supposed to do and her just go rogue and do what she wants to do. You know how I know that's possible? Because Jesus Christ is the absolute perfect leader, and saved people just do what they want to do. They don't follow him most of the time. Amen. So I know it's possible to have really good the best leadership and still be a bad follower. So we look at this chain of authority that God set up. You have Jesus Christ, the Word of God, this Bible, the Word of God. You have the husband, you have the wife, and you have the children. So the wife generally spends more time with the children than the husband. So if the husband's not studying to shew himself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and not studying with the Bible with his wife, and reading the Bible with his wife, and hiding the word of God in his heart, and she's hiding the word, because they're one flesh. If he's doing it and she's doing that together, they're doing that together. She's hiding the word in her heart so she won't sin. If he's not doing that and she's not doing that, then the kids won't be doing what they're supposed to be doing. You say, well, that woman's just not raising the kids right. Well, it started at the husband. This is a little too heavy for us men today. Because when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be judged differently as a husband than she will as a wife. Amen. Amen. Well, when she does what I want the way I want it, when she does things my way, I'm going to do what God says for me to do. That's not the way it works. It gets better, though. You can relax here in a minute, because there's a woman has responsibility too. But the washing of the water by the word, it's the word of God. You know, why did he give us a Bible? Amen. To clean us up, to clean our families up. Yep. And to set up the definite godly structure of a family. It's evident the way he wants the family set up. Amen. And it's evident that folks don't care. Amen. Amen. And you know, the funny thing about it is, he's chasing silver and gold, she's chasing silver and gold, the kids are being enveloped by the world and perverted by the world and taken over by the world. And when it's all said and done, at the end of it all, they got a bunch of junk and a bunch of bills. You got two people making $150,000, they're $500,000 in debt with a bunch of junk. You know what the toys do? They fall apart and they set somewhere. Or they end up at Goodwill or on the internet, somebody giving $10 for a $1,000 thing that you had to have. There's no dedication to the Lord anymore. There isn't. So why are women the way they are? God's looking at the men and saying, why aren't you being a man?
Yep. Amen.
Amen. He says, I'll deal with them later. Well, I'm dealing with you right now. Amen. Be a man. I mean, women are looking for a man. They want to find a man that loves Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only that loves Jesus Christ, if you find somebody that just has to tell you they're a Christian and just tells you how much they love Christ, and you have to have them hear it all, you have to hear it, probably the wrong one. You ought to know it by their actions. If you're not knowing it by their actions, you never will. It'll all be words. If they're not going to church, if they're not reading their Bible, if they're not praying with you, if they're not praying for you, if they're not trying to be in a good example, if you know, and to lead, then they're never going to do it, not 99% of the time. Amen. So, why put yourself in a losing situation? If you want to follow Jesus Christ, and you understand the Bible says that when a man and woman are united, they become one flesh. If he's not, you're not. Oh, you can struggle and you can war with the flesh and try, but if he's not, you're not. Amen. She's going to have a tough time. You know, I mean, I had heard preachers, and I do believe you ought to look at some things, you know, when you're getting married, these points. And I heard a pastor I have a great deal of respect for had about 10 or 15 points of these things you look for in a partner. And I agree with, you know, all of them are good things, but I don't think they're all necessary. I think the necessary ones are the ones that are focused on Jesus Christ. You know, if his IRA is fat, doesn't mean anything. Is his Bible worn out? Oh, is he showing you a book that his grandma got him 75 years ago and it's got three pages wrinkled in it and it looks like they just took it out of the box? Amen. You need to be Columbo when you're inspecting for a partner, amen? You need to look for these things. But the husband has a great responsibility, and then the wife has a great duty to follow the man. And if your duty is to follow the man, you better make sure you find somebody worth following.
Amen.
Amen. And if you're going to get a wife, you better be somebody worth following.
Amen.
And if you've got one and you're not, you need to get to be that way. Are you going to fail? At times, yeah. But you go right back to the book. When you go outside and work on a car, you get dirty, but you go in and get cleaned up. That happens. You get cleaned up by the washing of the water of the Word. Back to Ephesians 5. Oh, man, verse 27. This just keeps getting gooder. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Christ invested in you and me, and he's given us the ultimate guide in this book, in the Holy Spirit of God. And again, you can't separate the words of God from the Spirit of God. They are spirit, they are life. He's invested in you so he can give something back to himself that's clean. Let me say that again. He's invested in you and given you this to you personally, men and women, so he can give something back to himself that's clean. So if you're not reading your Bible, you're wasting what God has given you, and you will not be able to give him back anything close to what he deserves. Amen. You ever tell your kids if you have little kids, you tell them, get cleaned up. Go in there and get cleaned up. And they come out and they got like one finger clean, you know, and you know, it's like, did you use soap? Did you use washer? Did you use water? You know? You got to use the water. It's this book. So the husband says, well, that woman, if the husband's doing his job, she'll either get in or get out. Amen. There have been people split. There have been women left husbands and husbands left wives just because of the wickedness that had went on. And one of them's wanting to follow Christ, the other one's not. She'll either get in or get out. But the problem is she doing what she's doing? How about, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? If the husband's doing what he's supposed to be doing, God will take care of the rest. Amen. He will. Even if she goes the wrong way, just keep doing what you're supposed to do. If the husband's going the wrong way and it's a godly relationship, keep doing what you're supposed to do. Pray for him. Let God work it out. Holy and without blemish. Boy, I wish she was different. Well, why don't you read the Bible? Personally, why don't you read the Bible with her? Why don't you pray for her? Not just, oh, Lord, I wish she'd put them dishes out different. I wish she wouldn't make so much noise putting them dishes in the dishwasher. We don't use a dishwasher. I use that analogy because that's not like I'm pointing my wife at that. But we just let the dog clean them. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have a dog now. They took their dog home. So now that they're... But how about praying for her for spiritual things? For spiritual needs. How about studying the Bible? How about asking God to give you something in the Word of God, in his book, that'll help both of you. Amen. I've had people say, you know, well, we've been married all this time, and I just got saved, you know, 5 years ago. I don't know much about the Bible. I don't go to church. You know, just start going to church or whatever. I don't know much about. Just read the Bible. You don't have to understand it. I mean, you get in the shower and you got soap, or you know, you don't have to understand what the soap's made of. It's just going to do what it's supposed to do. But as you grow, you'll be able to ask the Lord, and He'll be able to give you more specific things to help.
Amen.
You. Sometimes you getting helped is your wife being helped.
Amen.
Amen. The weaker vessel. Oh, can't say that. Jesse Jackson, ACLU, they'll all be out here. You can't say she's the weaker vessel. Well, I didn't. God did. I just repeated what He said. So they can argue with God. Man should be the stronger vessel. Amen. He should be able to take more. Because he stands between her and the devil. Amen. Who stands between us and the devil? Christ. You are in Christ's stead, second to Him, as an under-shepherd to your family, as a husband. Amen. Has Jesus Christ ever... But don't tell me about the chastening, because He's got us all. But has He ever... I mean, does He talk to you like,
amen,
woman, this is your problem? Don't you think He probably feels that way sometimes with the church,
amen,
with the men and the women? But you know what He does? He just loves us. Puts up with it. He shouldn't have to. I mean, He can look at Himself and say, I am perfect. And these people are pitiful. And I think a lot of husbands think they're Christ.
Yeah,
I am perfect, and she is pitiful. And the Lord starts whacking the legs out from under him and says, well, you're pretty pitiful yourself. You might want to rephrase that. Pity us, Lord. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Look at 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. There is so much more than just words here. Yeah. A man caring for his physical body the way Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. So how do you nourish and cherish bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh? By the Word of God. Nourish. It's nourishing. Remember, your Word was more, it's more important than a necessary food. I'm paraphrasing that. I forgot the verse, but he says it's more important to me than my necessary food. Talking about the fleshly food. It should be more important to us to get something from the Word of God than to get something from the refrigerator. Amen. You ever notice how missionaries will come in and they'll go, here's a prayer card, put that on your refrigerator so you'll see it 16 times a day. Wouldn't it be neat if they could come in and say, you put that in your Bible so you can read it every day? But they don't say that because they know most Christians don't open their Bible. They don't. You got to get a Bible refrigerator. Amen. And before you get food out, you have to know three verses of memory. Amen. People will be a lot thinner and a lot happier spiritually. Amen. But isn't that something? Put this in your refrigerator. Not just on your refrigerator. Put it in there. Put it on the Oreos. Amen. Put it on the Miracle Whip or the Hellman's, whatever your preference is. We don't judge. No, I'm just kidding. But it's just ironic the way this stuff happens. It's, you know, put it on your refrigerator because we know what's important to you. Feeding your belly while your spirit dwindles away. What a mess. Christ loving the church. Look back at 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He laid his life down. He allowed his body to be crucified, and now you become his body. We become his body. if you're saved, you're his body. He no longer he no longer dwells in that flesh that was born of God. Now he dwells in a believer. Isn't that something? So the husband is supposed to crucify himself. What does that mean? That means I'm dead to me. What I want, my heart's desire, my wants, and my carnal desires don't matter anymore. Amen. You know what Jesus wanted carnally? I'm not saying he was carnal, but in the flesh, you know what he wanted? That cup to pass from him. He was getting ready to go through something that you and I could never imagine because he had the sin debt of the entire world on him.
Yep.
And he is worthy of all honor and praise, and he was taking all the humility and throwing it away. Taking all the dishonor that you and I deserve. He was doing something that only God can do that I can't imagine God would do. But I know he did it. And he says, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So that really narrows down the husband's role. Is to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to die to me. And I'm going to live for the Lord and in turn live for my bride. I'm going to give what's best for my bride by giving to the Lord. I'm doing it for the Lord, and it's going to take care of my bride. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, we see the birth of Christ. Well, before the birth of Christ, even, we're going to look at that. Remember, he no longer dwells in that body born from God, the Father, and Mary. He now indwells the believer. So, Mary is with child because the Holy Ghost overtook Mary and she's has God in her. And in verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now we know he's talking about that fleshly father, the seed of David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary and the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of her with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went in the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And listen to this. And she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Because she's carrying the Son of God. You know how blessed you are today? You're carrying the Son of God. See, the focus wasn't on Mary. It just said she was blessed. The focus is on the Son of God.
Amen.
So our Catholic friends need to refocus. It's not about the reason they put the focus on Mary is because that puts focus on the flesh instead of God.
Right.
And we look at them and say, well, how could you do that? You're worshiping Mary. How about you?
Yeah, amen.
If Christ lives in you, are you worshiping you?
Yep.
Or God that lives in you? Amen. In a sense, no matter what church people belong to, if they're not living Christ's will, they're living as Catholic.
Yeah.
They're worshiping the carrier of the Son instead of the Son. Amen. But how blessed we are to have Christ in us. You know, the folks that think they can lose their salvation would be well served to understand that Christ lives in you, you live in Him, and He's already in heaven. Praise the Lord. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bone. So that we become members of Christ. We become His body, members of His body, His flesh, His bone. Now, Christ is the head. Back in, where are we talking here? Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. So He is the head of the church. What's the head do? The head sends out the signal to the body, and the body ultimately is supposed to do what the head says to do. Amen. So as a body of Christ, we get our message from God, and we're supposed to do what He tells us to do. You know, we don't. There's no excuse for Christians, saved people, to have some kind of Tourette's, amen, and just do what they want, something that the head can't control. And if that's happening, it's because they're not reading their Bible, and they're not doing what God's calling them to do. They're not following Christ. And I'm not making fun of anybody that has that condition. I'm just saying that the body's supposed to do what the head tells it to do. Sometimes it doesn't physically, and a part of the time it doesn't spiritually. The church. Look at verse 31 back in Ephesians 5. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. One flesh. Unity. And it's not unity in finance. It's not unity in collecting worldly things, or unity in developing this relationship with the world that shows they're powerful and they're precious and they're special to the world. It's spiritual unity. And that's what's gone today. That's what's gone today. And I believe mostly because there's no spiritual unity between the man and God. And there's no, you heard Brother Earl, he was last year, you know, some of these young Baptist girls are Baptist hellcats, he said. But you know why? You know why? Because their dad's that way.
Yeah, amen.
And their mom's that way.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Or they're allowed to hang around friends that are that way because their dad and their mom are chasing mammon instead of chasing after Christ. Hey, look, Dave Ramsey's a smart guy. He really is. And he's good with finances. But it's not about finances.
Right.
It's about putting things in a spiritual bank. You can have somebody that has $1 million house, 10 Maseratis, and all the toys in the world, and they could die with a fat checking account and have nothing at the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
You can have other people living in a tent on the side of the road eating cold hot dogs out of a trash can that have laid up more in heaven than 90% of Christians will, because Christians don't follow Jesus Christ anymore. It's not about that. It's about being frugal and being a good steward of what God blesses you with, but it's about spiritual things. It's about spiritual things. And we know that verse. Well, I'm going to owe you guys a lot of minutes here in a couple hours. But we know that verse about, you know, man don't work, you don't eat. I understand that. And, you know, if he doesn't take care of his own household, he's worse than an infidel. God's not talking about a fat check. You're worse than an infidel if you're not spiritually taking care of your household. It's not money. God will take care of that. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got a street so pure you can see through it of gold. He's not talking about that. He's talking about if you're not taking care of your family spiritually, you're worse than an infidel. Because an infidel is just doing what infidels do. If you're blood-bought, born again, you got a Bible, you believe that book, you love Jesus Christ, you ought to be following Him, you ought to be leading your family spiritually. And if you're leading your family spiritually, God will take care of the rest. Amen. And if you're leading your family just in carnal things, the devil will take care of the rest. Amen. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know what happened to her. She got 16, 17, 18, and this happened. I'll tell you what happened to her. She had no guidance. I don't know what happened to him. Boy, he was raised in church. Well, he showed up. Your kids aren't raised in church.
Right.
They're raised at home.
Yep, amen. That's right.
Amen. Kids are raised at home. Not in a public school system either, at home.
Amen.
As soon as mama and daddy decided they want more of the world and they wanted Jesus Christ, the kids were hellbound. And their lives were hellbound. Even saved kids. See, boy, that woman. Yeah, that's an easy cop out.
Yeah, amen.
But the truth is, Christ said, it's me, and then the husband, and then the wife, and then the children. And the devil says, no, it doesn't have to be that way. You can be as God's. Look, lady, you can be just like Christ. You can lead everything. Look, husband, you can let go of the reins and let her do it because you're just after money anyway. And he tells the kids, well, your folks, what they do on Sunday morning is not real because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday is not real. That's not the same thing. So you can do the same thing they're doing. And I heard a preacher say this, and this is one of the most profound things I ever heard a man say that wasn't the Word of God. He said, what you do a little, your kids will do in excess. If that's true, why don't you read your Bible a little more? Amen. Boy, are we a mess. I was thinking we were going to make it through chapter 5, Lord willing, next week. But what a book. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. That's a tall order right there. Lay yourself down for your bride like Christ did his. But that being said, Christ never said, now the bride's going to tell me what to do. You know what he said? I'm going to love her, nourish her, and cherish her. And if she loves me back, she'll follow me. Amen. It's a lot easier when you let God have it. Let him deal with it. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. Lord, help us. We are a mess. And Lord, we try, we struggle, and oftentimes, it's just that we're not trying the right way. We're not digging into your word and letting your word get in us and change us. Help us to follow you, to hear that still small voice, and to submit to your words, not just read your word, not just be hearers of it, but be doers also. Bless the services coming up in Jesus' name. Amen.